Our first reading this morning from God's Word, from the prophet Isaiah, the 58th chapter, beginning in the middle of verse 9. The reading begins on page 777. The prophet addresses the people in captivity. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with a pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to rise on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Our second reading is from the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, beginning with verse 18. Here in this passage, the writer compares and contrasts Mount Sinai with Mount Zion. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 18. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Here ends the second reading. And the Holy Gospel for today, according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter, beginning with the 10th verse, I invite you to stand. The Gospel according to St. Luke. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, Woman, you are set free from your infirmity. Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. The Lord answered him, You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Dearly beloved of God, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. While there is breath left in you, you have opportunity. You have opportunity this day to use this day for good purposes, for God's purposes. And if you choose to do so, to use this day in doing that which is good, you will warm the heart of God. Let us pray. O Lord God, as we come into your presence this day, we pray that you would stop us, help us to consider how we are going about our lives. We pray that you would help us to look to you, to hear your voice, that we might be put back on your good track and realize that you do your work in us and through us. We pray that we would be obedient to the word that we hear today, that we would carry out your good works for your glory and to shine your light in the darkness of this world. And so we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, to the honor and glory of your holy name. Amen. Well, I love what Jesus does. I love how he interacts with people. Everything else becomes peripheral as Jesus focuses his attention on one person. That person in our scripture for today is a woman who is in great need. This woman in great need has been waiting a long, long time. How would it feel, do you think, to come into a community gathering week after week and to have a need so deep, so pronounced, that you feel it in your bones? How would it feel to come into that community week after week, to have this malady, this disease that you carry within you, and to have no one else know about it? Or, once having made it known, to be ignored, to be passed by, to receive no help, no consolation, to hear those in charge week after week speaking words, big words, high and mighty words, but words you know that have no real power. No power to heal, no power to save. It is likely that the woman who was there in the synagogue that morning felt overlooked, that her presence did not matter. To feel lonely in the midst of a crowd is perhaps some of the deepest loneliness we can feel. But in that particular synagogue, in that gathering place that day, Jesus saw that woman. She did not go unnoticed to him, and he would show her that her presence, her being, her life, it all mattered to God. The physician Luke tells us that this woman had been crippled for 18 years. And Luke goes on to tell us the reason. It was a spirit, an evil spirit within her. And as an integrated being tied together in body, mind, and spirit, her body had begun to suffer the ravages that evidently had begun as a spiritual matter. A spiritual matter that perhaps had been ignored by those who had been given charge of watching over her care, and yet saw her not. But Jesus saw her, and he called her forward, and he immediately proclaimed to her release. He told her that she had been set free, and it was only then that he touched her. He laid his hands upon her, and Luke tells us that she then straightened up and praised God. After 18 long years, this woman had finally and surprisingly experienced a miracle in the synagogue that day, and all who were present to see it. Had you been there, I wonder how you would have responded. With surprise, with fear that the power of God had become so near, or with rejoicing. As the writer of Hebrews says in our second reading for today, would you have sensed that though unseen, you were in the presence of thousands upon thousands of angels gathered together in joyful assembly? Would you have joined that woman in praising God for the miraculous transformation that happened to her that day? Well, I can imagine any of these as responses you might have had you been there. For any of these responses are appropriate responses to what has taken place. But it is hard for me to imagine how that synagogue ruler responded to such a marvel, that he responded with indignation. How is it possible that he could have been upset by what had taken place? To what kind of religion did this man subscribe that his heart was so hardened? What was his religion worth that he would disregard a woman and leave her crippled and bent over for 18 long years, only to express dismay when she had finally been released from her bondage by the one who displayed the power and compassion of God? In the name of religion, this man was indignant. He claimed that what Jesus had done was off limits on the Sabbath day, the holy day, this day that God had set apart from all the other days of the week. All knew, everyone knew, that God had left off his creative work after 6 days and rested on the seventh and said that all should follow suit. God had his rules and regulations after all. No work was to be done on the Sabbath, and surely what Jesus had done fell into the category of work. And so it was with indignation that the synagogue ruler declared to all the people, there are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those 6 days, not on the Sabbath. How deeply entrenched was he in his religious rigmarole that he said these words in all seriousness. For indeed, this woman had been coming to this synagogue for 18 years of 6 day work weeks with no respite, no relief, no redemption. Indeed, she had come for 18 long years and had experienced no Sabbath rest. The synagogue ruler was a man who put policies before people. He was a man who lived by the letter of the law and disregarded its spirit, its meaning, its intended purpose. Religion becomes oppressive when it is wielded by those in power to maintain their power. For the powerful, they are the ones who know the rules. They are the ones who know the loopholes, how to justify their own actions, to have their own way and yet proclaim that they're following the ways of God. They know how to navigate around the boundaries of God's law, those inconvenient truths that stand in the way of their own private plans and selfish gain, those nitpicking and hard-hearted hypocrites, how they stand in the way as roadblocks, as stumbling blocks, preventing the purposes of God being made manifest. And how deeply troubling it is that they respond to this truly marvelous event, not with rejoicing, but with indignation. Jesus calls them out. Jesus had made it easy, of course, for them to accuse him of performing work on the Sabbath. It was an undeniable fact. But they, just as surely, did as much work with significantly less redeeming purpose. They would not hesitate to untie their donkeys or oxen and give them refreshment. But Jesus looses the bonds that had bound this woman for 18 years and provides refreshment that soothes her soul. There was little room for reform in that synagogue or indeed in the temple in Jesus' day. The religious establishment was ready and ripe for more than reform, for heavenly revolt. It needed a complete makeover. In the 6th century BC, the Lord had spoken through his prophet Isaiah to the people who had been taken into captivity. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with a pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness. The people of God had turned away from the Lord and his ways, and they had been conquered by their enemies and carted off into exile. But God had promised to bring them back into the land of their ancestors, to give them another chance, to do it right this time. God was giving them another opportunity. And the words of the prophet reverberated down through the centuries into the synagogue that morning in Jesus' day, and it reverberates right into our sanctuary we call Emmanuel here in Saratoga. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with a pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness. If God's people in Isaiah's day heeded the words of the prophet, he promised them that they would be like a well-watered garden, like a spring of waters that would never fail, guided by the Lord himself. This same promise held true for the people in Jesus' day, and the same promises hold true for us here. Those about to return from their exile had a fresh opportunity, and the prophet bid them and begged them not to use it to do as they pleased on the Lord's Sabbath, not to go their own way, not to speak idle words. Instead, the prophet bid and begged them to truly honor the Lord by repairing and restoring and rebuilding the land and the people. For this is what God's Sabbath looks like. We come to this place, this sanctuary of God, to delight in what God has done on our behalf. We come to hear that our sins have been forgiven, that our salvation has been won. We come to acknowledge that we are very much like Cain, who out of envy slew his brother. And when he had done so, Abel's blood cried out to God of the life that had been taken. But we come to be reminded of what God himself has done, how he sent Jesus, this one who out of love sacrificed for his brothers and sisters, sacrificed for us, and whose blood on Calvary's cross cried out to us that a life had been given. Let us take our place in the midst of thousands upon thousands of angels who join together in praise this day because of the goodness and grace of God. Let us make good of the opportunity God has given us to do good, to shine God's light in the darkness of our nation and in the darkness of our world. Let us not be defined by what we are opposed to, but what we promote and invest in the name of our Lord. And let us hearken unto the voice of the one who calls from heaven, that our hearts might open in forgiveness, our hands be extended in mercy, and that we might loose the bonds of the oppressed. To God be the glory. Amen.